enough to eat. How can you think of
love? And welcome to Hia DC. This is Joni for our almost last of the year show. We have one more show coming up next Monday, but today is December 22nd. And today we are going to be doing a special show in honor of labor and two organizations that we don't hear enough from, but you're going to hear from them this morning. And that is, we're going to start with the Coalition of Labor Union Women with a special tribute to our own Elise Bryant and much, much more. And then for the later in the show, we're going to be talking about Trabajadores Unidos, DC Workers United. And they're going to be talking about giving an update on what's going on in DC with ICE and much, much more. And that's with Mario Cristobal. So let's start right off with the Coalition of Labor Union Women. We're going to give an imaginary drum roll to clue. And we have three people helping to tell us about Elise Bryant. But first, let's start with a special song that was written in honor of Elise. Okay, and it is holiday season, and we need to go back. Maybe we can play that song, Kalia. It's called I'm on Your Side, and it was written in honor of Elise Bryant. Maybe we'll play it after the interview. But it's a wonderful song, a beautiful song in honor of Clue Women. So let's start out with Ashley Lewis. Good morning, Ashley. And Ashley has been on with us before, but not for quite a while. She is calling us all the way from Detroit, Michigan, when she was very much involved with the United Auto Workers, but she's also involved with an organization that many of you know called the Coalition of Labor Union Women. And she's going to be telling us about Elise Bryant, who many of you know, some of you may not know, that she was recently retired as the president of the Coalition of Labor Union Women. So welcome, Ashley.
Thank you, Joni, and thank you for having me. It's truly an honor to be here. My name is Ashley Lewis, and I currently serve as a recording secretary for the Coalition of Labor Union Women. And for those who aren't familiar with the Coalition of Labor Union Women, it is the only union organization founded for and by union women. And it began in 1974. And we really do a lot of work to focus on not only the issues that are impacting women, but also empowering their participation. So we always are focused on making sure that they're being prepared for greater roles within their respective unions, and also organizing the unorganized to make sure that we're mobilizing in industries that aren't necessarily familiar with unions, but it's our job to get them not only familiar, but to organize what is left. And what I mean by that is that oftentimes people don't realize that gig work, even if you look at your restaurant, food, commercial workers, a lot of that work is actually dominated by women. Also, domestic workers. These are industries that are severely underunionized, and these are the industries of which we target. And we also are very focused on promoting the next generation of women, not only to lead within their respective union, but also to lead in the Coalition of Labor Union Women. And so this morning, I wanted to also give love to President Emeritus Elise Bryant, because what most people don't understand about the history of the labor movement as it pertained to women is that it was through song that labor women were actually able to organize, to mobilize, because when they feared going against the oppressor, they sang in that song and that unity that created a movement that allowed them to have strikes all across the nation. Women were the first to stand up. And so Elise took us to the foundation of that, of understanding the power of not only song, but the power of education as well, because good education is one where you learn and you don't even realize you're learning. And I think the best thing that I've experienced with President Elise and Emeritus Elise Bryant was that she gave us the gift of education through art form. And I will also say that I believe her biggest benchmark for what she's done for the Coalition of Labor Union Women is women like me, like Chelsea, young women who are coming up in their unions, and we need structural support. And Elise did a great deal of work to make sure that we were structurally supported, not only through the Coalition of Labor Union Women, but also just giving us guidance and counsel on how to navigate our own unions. And to me, that is a testament to leadership, because leadership isn't about a title or a position. It's about who you empower. And I know that President Emeritus Elise Bryant empowered so many, including myself.
Yes, and many listeners know Elise Bryant for the work that she does here. She is the president of the D.C. Labor Chorus. You can see her out in the streets in many of our rallies. And she also can be heard every Thursday at 1 p.m. With a special labor show. And so she's no stranger to us. But many people do not know, as Ashley was just saying, the role that she's played with CLU. And Ashley, tell us, how many years was Elise president? Was it 7 or 8, I believe? Uh-oh, I can't hear you.
9 years. Yes, 9 years. And I want to say, too, any leader who led through COVID, who led through like the pandemic, and as the labor movement is actually redefining itself too, is a special leader. And I told her that too. It takes a great deal of leadership to lead during difficult times and difficult periods. And I commend her, not only for the work that she did through CLU, but just her heart that she gave to CLU, because she did so much of this on her own time, really traveling all across the United States, building, mobilizing for CLU. And to do that and to do it still at that stage, right, as a president, I think is just significant. It speaks volumes to her character.
Okay, we're going to definitely hear the special song that was written. I know I'm sending it right now. I'm sending it now. Elise, again, congratulations. We're going to hear the special song in a moment, but share with us some of your reflections. Of course, we know you for all the things you do here in D.C., but give us some of your reflections of your being the president of the Coalition of Labor Union Women for many years and what it feels like to retire from that post. Welcome, Elise.
Thank you, Joni. I'm not retired. I'm redeployed. I absolutely will continue the work that we are doing in the Coalition of Labor Union Women. A friend of mine said to me years ago, there are two kinds of people who run for office. Ones want to do some things and ones want to be somebody. I was already somebody before I became president of CLU, but I wanted to do something. And the thing I wanted to do, Joni, was I wanted to run for office, because I was always telling this my next generation sisters about run for office in your union, but not only run for office in your union, but run for office in government, you know, that we need to be represented in both of those places in more significant numbers than we are right now. And so somebody asked me, well, when are you gonna run for office? Well, I was on the board of my local, Newspaper Guild Local 32035, as a board member, but I always ran in an uncontested seat. So I was just, you know, basically automatically there, but I didn't have to run a campaign and run against somebody. So in 2017, I said to myself, you telling the other sisters to do this, and you haven't done it yourself. Let's do this. So I ran for vice president of my local and lost. And then a month later, I ran for president of the Coalition of Labor Union Women and won. And then our locals elections were overturned by the National Labor Relations Board, and we ran the election again, and I ran and won. So now I was vice president. But one of the things that I've had, because Ashley and Chelsea are on our Young Women Workers Committee, And one of the members asked me one day, he said, well, you don't treat us like the other people do. Why is it? I said, because I'm not your mother. I'm your coach. I'm not here to tell you what you did wrong or discipline you. I'm here to make sure you win. And I want to make sure that we pass the baton so the next person can grab it and run with it and do what we need to do. And it's not about being somebody. It's about doing something.
Absolutely. And we are very proud of Elise Bryant, definitely a member of the WPFW family.
Yay!
And again, Elise, you can be heard Thursdays at 1 o'clock.
Uh-huh, on the Labor Heritage Power Hour.
Yes, so everyone who hasn't heard it yet, check it out, 1 to 2 p.m. And we're going to hear that song in a moment, but first we want to welcome Chelsea Bland, who is with the D.C. Coalition of Labor Union Women, and she's going to tell us briefly about the what D.C. CLU has done this year, maybe, that she's proud of, and what you're thinking about for the year ahead. Welcome, Chelsea.
Thank you so much, Joni. It's so great to be here with you, and thank you for providing the space for us to honor Elise and talk about our beloved Coalition of Labor Union Women. It's awesome to be here with Ashley, who I also adore, and so thank you for this opportunity. So yes, I'm Chelsea. I'm president of the Metro DC chapter of the Coalition of Labor Union Women, and 2025 has been a big year for us, and it's been a hard year for all of us, but one of the things that, in thinking about this, that we have really done this year, we've really focused on community. And so there's so much organizing inside of labor and inside of community inside of DC. And so it's been really an honor for us to step up and to show up for all of the work that's been happening here in the District of Columbia. Everything from Free DC to Defend DC to the work that the Metro Labor Council is doing here in our area. It's been really an honor for us to show up. So from things, you know, national things happening like the hands-off rallies in April to No King's Day, all of those things we have shown up for. We were out there when more than 10,000 people walked in the streets of D.C. calling for a free D.C. And so it's important for us as a Metro D.C. chapter of CLU to be out here and be supporting all of the amazing organizing that's happening. Most recently, we were able to support the boycott Target on D.C. picket line that happened Thanksgiving weekend outside of the Columbia Heights Target. And so that is also important for us. And as a coalition, we're able to pass a resolution also to support that boycott nationwide. So not only do we focus on things that are happening in the workplace, we also focus on things that are happening in our community. And that's really important for us. And then 2026 is going to be a big year for our chapter as well. Our chapter turns 50. And so this is a really exciting time. So we're a few years younger than National CLU. And so we've got a great group of women together who are helping to plan a women's labor summit that we hope to have towards the end of March. So stay tuned for information about that. We're also going to have some other activities to help celebrate our 50th next year. And we also want to focus more on worker organizing next year as well. So we're wrapping up 2025. We're so grateful for our members and our chapter. We're so grateful for Elise for her support over the years of our chapter. And she's going to be more active with us. And so we're so grateful for that. And so we look forward to 2026.
Absolutely. And Chelsea, if there are listeners, there are women out there who are union members and they don't know about DC CLU, what might they do to find out more?
Yes, you can find DC CLU at dcclu.org online, and also we're on Instagram at DC CLU as well. So DCCLUW.
Okay, great. Well, we have time for that last song. I'm going to ask Elise to introduce this song and tell us about the person who wrote it. Elise Bryant.
Yeah, that song was written by Lynn Marie Smith, who is the Motown diva. And she is the queen of all that. She leads the Coalition of Labor Union Women's CLU's chorus. So at our conventions and conferences, we have members come together and they rehearse and they meet with her. And she's a parody songwriter supreme. She can take any song and turn it into a labor song. And much to my surprise, I don't want to start crying, but this video came out right after the convention, I think, and I'm greatly honored. And again, it's the spirit of song, and Ashley said it earlier, and this isn't about, oh, she can sing. No. Singing is the human activity. Music is the only thing that happens in both hemispheres of the brain, and we sing together. we breathe together, and we breathe together, our hearts synchronize as one. That's solidarity. That's what we're here for, to bring women together, to take our rightful place. 51% of the population should be 51% of the Senate, 51% of our city councils, all over the place. I'm going to stop now and say, hope folks enjoy this song.
Elise, we're very proud of you. Thank you, Elise Bryan. Thank you, Chelsea Bland. And thank you, Ashley Lewis, from calling us all the way from Detroit. Let us hear this song, I'm On Your Side, in honor of all women, and especially women of blue. I did send it. Oh, well.
real quick, if you want, I can put it in the chat.
Okay. Well,
here it comes. But in the interim, yeah, we want everyone to join. And this is the other thing too, Joni. A man of quality is not threatened by a woman seeking equality. So we have men who are members of CLU, and so brothers, you too can be along and with the powerful women who are moving forward, who are going to save this labor movement and move us forward into the next century, because that's what we're about. And we're about inclusivity. Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's in the chat.
Okay. And Chloe, yeah. I don't know if you're able to play it that quickly. I'm sorry for this mishap.
It's okay.
Well, anyway, we're going to, in a moment, move on to our next segment.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll hear the song before then. We're going to be talking to the head person, Mario Cristallo of Trabajadores Unidos, a DC Workers United. We're going to be hearing about what they've been doing this year, what's up with ICE, what has been happening to immigrants. But let's go with the song if we're ready.
Breathe new life into me. With the help of my sisters, there's nothing that we can't do. So I wrote a few words to sing your praises, and I put them down in this homage dedicated just to you.
Sister, sister, you're my sister.
You're my sister. Oh.
Sister, sister, you're my sister.
Ooh. Oh.
Oh, oh, oh.
Yeah. Ooh, oh. I'm on your side. Ooh. We're at a crossroad. Which way will we go? These days it seems like nobody knows. Oh no, there's one thing for sure. Sisters, you can count on me. Most assuredly, sisterhood means a lot to me.
Okay, that was in honor of our Coalition of Labor Union Women Sisters for that great song. And we're going to shift. We had a song picked up, which you heard a little bit when the show began, but we're moving now into talking about DC Workers United, Trabajadores Unidos, with Mario Cristaldo. And Mario, we're so happy to have you on with us this morning. And let's start out with telling us you were on before, and we hope, listeners, to have Mario on regularly, hopefully once a month, to hear reports about what's particularly happening in the D.C. area with immigrants being swept up by ICE and other horrific things. But Mario, welcome. Tell us about...
Thank you. Thank you, Joni. Good morning, everyone. It's really a pleasure to be here sharing with you the highlights and some of the things that we've been doing with Trabajadores Unidos from this extraordinary year, 2025, really. So many things that happened since.
Well, Mario, tell us first, for listeners who don't know, what is DC Workers United?
Thank you. Trabajadores Unidos is a community-based organization here in Washington, D.C. Our mission is to advocate, fight, and work with day laborers, the immigrant community, and low-wage workers, going through different issues, wage theft, immigration issues, and other issues related to our communities here in the District of Columbia. We do have a strong membership here in the district, but also have some members from Maryland and Virginia. So, and then we're part of the National Day Labor Organizing Community as well at national level.
Yes, and I believe the at least the chapter here in D.C. was founded by our own Arturo Griffiths, correct?
Absolutely. One of our legendary heroes is Arturo Griffiths, our founder and first executive director of the Trabajadores Unidos. He passed away this last June, and we had to say goodbye to him. But at the same time, we were able to look at what he has been doing with us all these years, and an extraordinary way of saying yes to our community in the District of Columbia. So yes, we're grateful for that.
And Arturo is very much a part of the WPFW family as well. But let's move on to giving. Well, first tell us a little bit about you, and then I'm going to ask you to give us an update on these ICE raids in the area. But tell us about you, Mario.
I'm an immigrant myself. I've been living in the District of Columbia for over 25 years now. I'm originally from Paraguay, but a resident of the district since I moved to the country here in the U.S. And I from the beginning I worked for living wages, affordable housing, and other issues as an organizer in the metro area, Maryland and D.C. In the first years of my organizing activities, and then lately I've been working with Trabajadores Unidos after Arturo left the organization.
Yes, as executive director. So you came on about a month or so ago, and I don't know if you can give us an update about what's been happening with these ICE raids.
Well, the ICE raids are still going on. I mean, nothing really has changed. The pace has been slower a little bit, but that's nothing to say that, you know, the city has still the same awkward position of caving into the new administration policies and never really retracted from their support for what they're doing here in the district, which is a very unfortunate. Some of the things we're still being deported. More than 50 members of our organization been detained, deported, and only two of them been released since the last conversation we had together. That's very much affected our organizing efforts and everything, but we've been strong and working with the community to fight back, and we've been joining other organizations in solidarity, including Free DC, to fight for our rights, for the due process, for being treated as a human being and not as second citizens here in the District of Columbia.
Hmm. Wow, so you say 50 people have been deported from D.C. who were immigrants this year?
Right. At least these are the ones that we can count as part of our organizations. Trabajadores Unidos has a membership system that allows us to track down our members and then also folks who are reported, family members or the people being deported themselves calling us and letting us know their latest status. So that's the way that we operate internally to be able to track down what is happening to us directly. But in the District of Columbia and in the metro area, the damage is great. Of course, there are more than 400 members of our community that they have been taken away from us in the region.
When you say taken away from us, so some of those people were not deported, but they've been taken. Tell us what happened to them.
Well, typically what happened to one that has been detained in the more early in the morning, going to work, they've been taken to the detention facilities in Maryland and Virginia. And then from there, usually, depending on the situation, they're being transferred to different parts of the country. So we have people that have been detained here in DC, in Texas, or New York City, or New York, on other parts of the country, even Louisiana. And then Louisiana actually is the place where people who are being deported are taken to then be sent away to different parts of the Latin America. As you know, most of the people, a large number of people being deported are mainly from Latin America at this point.
And are you able to stay in touch with any of them, or do they just disappear from you to be able to follow what's happening or support them in any way?
There are different situations going on. If they have their family members still in our communities, we have a family plan that we share with folks about how to mitigate the situation, the impact of someone in the family being deported, and some of them are the breadwinners. And so that's been very difficult for a lot of families in the District of Columbia. Not to say there are other issues that have been impacting our community as well. As you may know, the issue that some of the safety nets of our communities have been taken away by the local government as well. So it's been calculated that 40,000 members of our community are going to be affected by the cut in healthcare services in the District of Columbia. So that's a huge impact for us. We're very worried about what's going to happen in the coming year about this situation.
That's definitely an issue that we here in To Heal DC, which we do focus on healthcare, Mario, we really hope to have you join us to share more. We're going to be talking about that.
Absolutely. We're going to be working together. You know that we even though we're in a celebratory spirit here at the end of the year, what we're really doing is we're strengthening our bases. And we just last weekend we went to Mount Pleasant, the Mount Pleasant neighborhood, and we hung out with the folks there at the corner of Mount Pleasant and Canyon Street Northwest at Amigos Park. Just supporting the effort of the community for a full park with the community there in that corner, and it's been a struggle for more than 10 years now. So that we want to win a solution from the local government. So it's just not there's the apparently all the elements for the park to move forward, but for some reason, you know, the current government is still not doing anything there.
Yes, so you're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. We're building a better world, one broadcast at a time. This is Joni with To Heal DC, and we are honored and thankful to be talking with Mario Cristallo, who is the executive director of Trabajadores Unidos, DC Workers United. And Mario, I found another song. We didn't hear the first song that you recommended. We're going to hear your other song at the end of the show, but we're going to sneak in a song that I remembered last night by Victor Jara from Chile, El Derecho a Vivir en Paz, the right to live in peace. So hopefully let's hear it. Again, that was a song written by Victor Jara, who some of you may remember, was an activist in Chile and was murdered in 1973. I think it was on around September 11th. El Derecho, Vivir en Paz. And Mario, you have something to share about who was singing that song.
Actually, that song is from El Gran Combo of Puerto Rico, and the song is Palante.
Oh.
It's a song for workers, the workers in describing the how a working person gets up in the morning, get ready, and go throughout the day and all that. It's a beautiful song that we actually celebrate on May 1st every year with all our members and friends here in the district.
Well, thank you. This is my bad this morning. I'm having some problems with these songs, but I'm thankful that you can explain about that song. We may not have time to hear from Victor Jara, but it's also a very powerful song, The Right to Live in Peace. It's very relevant for today. But let's jump back to what is happening today. Mario, I know that your organization, DC Workers United, do a lot of things, and perhaps you can share with us some of the other activities that you do. I know that you were doing some training recently for people to learn how to deal with ICE, but anything you'd like to share about that training or about other things you're doing?
Yeah, well, Trabajadores Unidos really is organizing regularly Know Your Rights workshops and meetings with the community at different levels. Sometimes we do it here at the Workers Center at 1419 V Street, Northwest Washington D.C. Sometimes we go to the community and we work with other organizations like BRIA, school and others and others organizations in solidarity. We also go to the neighborhoods and that way do outreach in the community. And then we also have a campaign for voting rights that we just launched a couple of weeks ago, whereby we're asking folks and we're sharing with folks a better understanding of our rights here in the District of Columbia. As you may all know, non-citizens have the right to vote in local elections, and next year is going to be a big year for elections. Our understanding is that we're going to have new mayor and council members as well are being either reelected or going to be being new members of the council. So, and we want to be part of the all these conversations about how we can empower our communities in the District of Columbia overall for the well-being of the residents, including the day laborers and low wage workers. And then also we have the immigration legal resources that we have in place whereby we provide legal services to the immigrant community through two different programs, and including with the help of organizations and churches here in the District of Columbia. We're very grateful of working with some of our partners here in the district. Amica is one of them. Also, churches is another partner that we've been working with for a number of years now. And so that's the way we provide support to our folks. We also help folks to better navigate their workers' rights and supporting them when they have issues of wage theft, one of the biggest issues that we have in our communities. People are going to work or are being mistreated or not being paid living wages and things like that. So all this we're doing within the context of the new reality here in the district.
Wow. You're listening to Mario Cristallo, who is the executive director of Trabajadores Unidos, Washington, D.C., D.C. Workers United. And Mario, let me ask you, of course, we know that different cities are addressing this situation of ICE, of these ICE raids. And some of us have heard a lot about what's happening in Chicago. We're wondering what's going to be happening in New York with a New York City, with a new mayor. But we're going to be having elections for a new mayor in the near future. I wonder if you might comment on what you think the city could be doing or should be doing with regards to these ICE raids.
Yes. Well, first of all, we need to reassure to everyone that this is a sanctuary city still. That we passed more than 12 years ago, we passed several laws, local laws in the district, saying that we are a city of immigrants and everyone is welcome and a welcoming city, and that we will be protecting the rights of everyone regardless of their immigration status. That's what is called sanctuary city. And but unfortunately, lately we've seen that the local government in several aspects are even contributing and working with ICE. The federal agency through the Department of Homeland Security enforcing the detention and then even kidnapping of some of our members in the immigrant communities, which is very unfortunate. And so that's one of the biggest issues we have with the local government but on the other hand, we continue to work with them and we're continuing to reach out to them to let them know that we have all these rights that we want them to work with us, because for the safety and for the well-being of our communities.
Absolutely. And I don't know, Mario, if you have some examples that some of us, I haven't actually personally witnessed a horrific situation with ICE, although I have seen some things that were very disturbing. I don't know if you can give any examples to listeners of maybe what you've seen or what you've heard.
Well, since January 20th this year, DC was one of the first cities that was hit with the ICE raids, agents, federal agents, and ICE informants teams were sent to different parts of the city, including the Home Depot in site in Washington DC. Where day laborers congregate for looking for job for day labor jobs, and they were raided in several times. As a matter of fact, that area has been raided by them, and taken people have been taken into detention and even deported from that site. other areas of the city, especially the neighborhoods where the immigrant community live. We have seen ICE presence and raid all over the city. Unfortunately, that had caused unsafety situations for us, and then we had to quickly alert everyone and start working with other members of our community for safety, for looking for opportunities to continue to live a decent life here in the district.
Absolutely. And just going back to Home Depot for a moment, so are workers still able to gather there? I know that was a way a lot of people were able to get work, but is that no longer possible there at home?
It's impossible really to stay there especially for the way the situation is now. There's a national campaign against Home Depot because even though they have been endorsed or being part of the raids campaign, they've been silent about it, and in some cases, you know, they seem that they've been in support even. But so here in the District of Columbia, unfortunately, where folks, day laborers and low wage workers are seeking other ways to find jobs and keep working as much as they can. But this is a very difficult situation for our families, and impacting in different levels, really, even in the school system, whereby some family, some immigrants, families of immigrants are not sending their kids to school because of they're afraid that they're going to be taken away from them.
Wow. And I'm going to ask you about children in a moment, but just to mention, as many listeners may know, that Home Depot, I believe the leadership or owners are very much in support of the orange man, as some of us call him, the president of this country. Let's talk before we only have maybe we still have about 10 minutes, but children, have you seen situations where children, I've certainly heard about it, where children in D.C. are swiped up by ICE in raids, or children or young people?
Well, people have been impacted. Children have been very much impacted by the fact that some of them have seen their family members, their parents, their relatives being taken away. And it's a very dramatic for a child, you know. Even though we haven't encountered they themselves being taken away by themselves, we have seen the impact, and we've been taught the impact that kind of situation can cause to a family here in the district.
Yeah, absolutely tragic. I'm sorry, it's gonna.
it's a very difficult situation, and
yes,
talking about children, about people from our community that have been contributing with their taxes, with being part of the our fabric, social fabric, and contributing in different areas, and giving their labors to a much needed economy here in the district. You know, our economy has been impacted in such a way that we have lost millions of dollars in tourism and other areas where the immigrant community is strongly supported. The restaurant industry has been devastated for that as well, and other areas of our economy. So I don't know what is the win situation here for all of us. And remember, this is just the first year that we're closing at this time. So we still have a few more years with this national government in place that we don't know what's going to happen. Well, the only thing we know is that that in other parts of the country, they've been more, even more aggressive, like the way it is in Chicago or Minneapolis. But also, I've seen a great solidarity from the community. I mean, here in the District of Columbia, the DC, the Free DC movement, and other organizations in solidarity have been acting very openly in support of our community. So we're very grateful for all of that, and we're gonna join this efforts as much as we can, and without keeping in mind that the safety of our communities is one of our greatest priorities.
Absolutely. And of course, Free DC, which Harriet's Wildest Dreams is in the leadership of that organization too, is very much a part of our family here at WPFW, and we're very proud of them. We're very proud of the labor movement. The Metropolitan Washington AFL-CIO is very much working with Free DC, as are you. So together, the more we organize, the better we will win. But I'm going to ask you briefly, because we're almost out of time. The final question I'm going to ask you in a moment is your priorities for this coming year. But if you could share a minute with us about another activist that we lost physically in the recent months or so. We talked about Arturo Griffiths, but tell us about Jaime Cruz.
Well, Jaime Cruz was a community activist here in the District of Columbia and other parts of the country, as a matter of fact, very active with the immigrant community. And he was actually in the later years, part of the board of directors of Trabajadores Unidos, working very closely with Arturo Griffiths and Fernando Garavito and some other members of our board for strengthening our organization. And we're very grateful of that. He as well was actually celebrating with us the legacy of Arturo.
Yes.
A few months ago, when we had our celebration for Arturo Griffiths at the All Souls Church last September. But unfortunately, after that, he fell ill and also passed away. We recently went to a private event organized by his family to celebrate his life, and we're gonna be working together with other members to take the legacy and all the great things that he left for us to continue the work here at Trabajadores Unidos. So Jaime Cruz
presente. We're almost, yes. And we will be talking about Jaime again in the future. We're almost out of time. Before we are out of time, I want to thank Kalia, our engineer, for this morning. Despite my mess ups, Kalia is doing a great job. And stay tuned for Make It Plain with Mark Thompson coming up. But tell us in a minute or two or a few minutes what you're thinking about, what DC Workers United is thinking about for the coming year.
Well, Trabajadores Unidos, we're going to continue the work that we're doing. Our mission is more than ever important to our community. The members of our community have been coming to us, the immigrant community, day laborers and low-wage workers have been coming and participating actively with us. And then we're going to continue to provide the services very much needed, the Know Your Rights sessions. We're going to continue to reach out to other members of our community in the district, solidarity. We want to be part of the discussion of the strengthening our safety nets for all of us, low-wage workers, immigrants, day laborers, and the DC residents as well. That's another priority for next year. And
And also about the healthcare, you just
the healthcare issue is very, very important to us. We want to restate the Alliance program, which is the healthcare for people who are low wage workers that are under the federal government poverty line, and strengthening our other parts of the safety nets, providing affordable housing, fighting for affordable housing is very important to us. Food distribution is very important in our community as well. So we have all these issues that we're going to be working with in conjunction with everyone, including the local government. We still have a strong ties with them. We want to continue to work with them. That doesn't mean that we don't want to speak up for our rights when it's needed, and that's what we're doing at this point, and we're gonna collaborate with everyone so we people can see that the immigrant community can and will continue to work with other residents of the District of Columbia for the well-being of all of us here in the district.
Absolutely, and Mario, hopefully right in the beginning of January, we're going to have a show looking at a new program that the D.C. government will be enacting around the healthcare issues, specifically addressing the people who have, as you just mentioned, the immigrants and other people have been cut off of the Alliance program. So when we have that show, Mario, I'm going to ask you to join us. I was surprisingly impressed with what they have planned. I could be wrong, but it looks like there may be some positive possibilities that people are going to be getting access to healthcare who are cut off from the Alliance. So we shall see. Mario, we are very thankful for you. We are proud of the work that you do. If there are listeners who want to support Trabajo de los Unidos or find out more, how can they do that?
Please visit our website, tuwdc.org, tuwdc.org, or visit us here at 1419 V Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. Our phone number is 202-847-3187. 202-841-3187. So that's another way of communicating with us. We are in social media. We have Instagram. We have all the little social social media tools that we have out there. So please visit us, and then we will work together.
Yes, and that's
thank you all for what you're doing there at the radio stations.
And Mario, I'm going to interrupt you because I want you to announce the last song that you selected, La Murga. Just tell our listeners because we only have a few seconds.
So I guess what we're playing now is La Murga de Panama. is a song of Willie Colon and Hector Lavoe, two greatest salsa players. But these are music with heart, with corazón. So.
So thank you very much, Mario, and have a positive holiday. Thank you again to Kalia for hanging in there with us, and again, stay tuned for Make It Plain with Mark Thompson, and at 2 o'clock our health show with Dr. Watkins. So let's hear La Murga.
El derecho de vivir, poeta Ho Chi Minh, que golpea de Vietnam a toda la humanidad, ningún cañón borrará el surco de tu arma.
rosal, el derecho de vivir en paz. Indochina es el lugar, más allá del ancho mar, donde revientan la flor con genocidio y napalm. La luna es una explosión que funde todo el clamor, el derecho de vivir en paz. Que funde todo el clamor, el derecho de vivir en paz. Dio por nuestra canción.
The Caribbean Disaster Relief and Recovery Alliance, a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, is seeking relief aid supplies for the victims of Hurricane Melissa. They are accepting non-perishable food items, toiletries, medical supplies, and monetary donations. All funds will go towards Hurricane Melissa relief. Drop-off locations and more information is available at cdrra.org. That's cdrra.org.
Inviting all DC hand dancers, Philly boppers, Chicago steppers, Carolina shaggers, and West Coast swingers. The Treehouse Dreamers venue offers dance music from Motown and more every Friday, 1 to 5 p.m. at 4722 14th Street Northwest. DJ Jam and Dave and other fine DJs provide an atmosphere offering seniors socialization while getting much-needed quality movement through familiar tunes and dance every Friday. Details at 301-922-4064. That's 301-922-4064. WPFW offering wellness through dance, one activity at a time.
Hello, I'm David Whetstone, and you're listening to member-supported WPFW Washington.
This is
Make It Plain.
Make It Plain.
M-I-P.
With Masamela Mafumo.
Mark.
Make It Plain.
Get woke.